Hello and welcome to the EY India Insights podcast. I'm your host, Pallavi, and in this episode, we're joined by Mahim Chaturvedi, partner of consulting at EY India, to discuss de-risking mega manufacturing projects in India and its strategies for enhancing execution excellence. With over two decades of experience across manufacturing, metals, chemicals, and infrastructure, Mahim leads large transformation projects focused on capital project delivery, operational excellence, and risk management. As India moves forward its vision of becoming a Viksit Bharat by 2047, Mahim shares how organizations can de-risk complex projects, enhance coordination, and drive execution excellence. Thank you, Mahim, for joining the podcast, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Pallavi. Pleasure to be there.
Mahim, to begin with, India's ambition to become a Viksit Bharat by 2047 is driving massive investments in sectors like infrastructure and manufacturing. However, many large-scale projects face significant delays and cost overruns. So what are the key challenges hindering the project success?
Yeah, Pallavi, in fact, you're absolutely right. While there are a lot of investments happening, but at the same time, the reality is that if I look at the current estimates, more than 40% of the projects have significant schedule overruns. And at an overall level, perhaps the infra projects exceed the budgeted cost by close to 20%. I mean, that's the reality. And if you look at the challenges that we have, and this is across public and private sector that we're talking of, there are three or four key challenges, which have an impact. And these are beyond the regulatory hurdles and supply chain issues which we are seeing because of the geopolitical uncertainties. One big bucket, if I were to summarize the first part, is the inherent complexity that's involved in construction works. I mean, all of these works would be at remote sites. There are multiple stakeholders, contractors, consultants, and hence multiple IT systems and manual systems, etc. And more often than not, there's no single version of truth, right? So you really don't know what's happening on the ground. And these are accentuated with lack of comprehensive project management systems, risk management, and governance mechanisms. I mean, so this is one large bucket of challenges, if I may call out. The second set of challenges is essentially pertaining to the availability the limited availability of skilled labor. And also low construction productivity, that is plaguing our industry. And the fact of the matter is, if you look at India, there are a lot of small fragmented contractors which are there. I mean, so it's a combination of issues which is posing these challenges to us.
Thank you, Mahim. Now, construction labor productivity in India is lower compared to the global standards. So what are the key reasons for this? What can be done to improve this? And additionally, if you can give us some successful case studies in the industry.
Yes, absolutely, Pallavi. And I think one of the leading reasons for low construction productivity in India is essentially a very limited adoption of advanced technologies, mechanization, as we say, and heavy reliance on unskilled workforce. I think that's the fundamental reason why our productivity, as I was saying, is maybe 1/5 or 1/6 of what China works at. So I think that's something which needs to change. Currently, the prevalent approach in many of the projects where we have seen is essentially, that we need to add more workers, extend the shifts, and see that how the entire construction work improve. But that's essentially a very short-term view and doesn't yield result, because at the end of it, the bottom line is you will not get more people beyond a point in time. And there are ways of doing so, and fundamentally, and if I were to look at how do you increase the mechanization of construction works, modularization is something that definitely helps in increasing the construction productivity. I mean, techniques such as modular pipe works, prefabricated structures for process plants, precast segments, modular formwork for high-rise buildings, and so on. So these are various methods that are available, but they're all. But when I look at the project landscape, they're also being adopted selectively. Right, not every company is doing so. But wherever it has happened, I think it has yielded wonderful results. In fact, for example, in one of the metals and mining company, they used skid-mounted modular ETPs, and that reduced the installation time and labor by over 50%, right? And that enabled faster commissioning. It was a huge success, for for the project team. Similarly, there's a prominent EPC company which was into power plant construction works, and they ch achieved 20% improvement in construction productivity by implementing mechanization. They adopted different mesh methods of welding. They go into off-site fabrication and assembly on site, and that really helped in achieving the project timelines. Similarly, there are other aspects as well. So, for example, use of admixtures, right? I mean, that reduces deshuttering time significantly, right? Automatic rebar cutting, bending machines, and so on. And in our experience, if I were to say that if effectively we use modularization mechanization, it can cut the construction cycle times anywhere between 10 to 30%, right? And that really significantly reduces the dependence on manual labor.
Thank you, Mahim, for sharing successful case studies. Now, while large contractors are adopting mechanization, small contractors often rely on manual labor. So, what are the key barriers preventing broader adoption of mechanized construction, and how can the industries sort of address these challenges?
I think the fundamental reason at the root of it is the capital investment required. I mean, if you were to use mechanized methods, if you were to use, say, modular formwork, even at the basic level, all of these obviously result in a higher cost. I mean, and the cost could be maybe even anywhere between 10 to 20%, 25%, and so on. So that's essentially primarily the reason, right? And since you don't have the scale available, and hence the availability of these is also at a higher cost. So I think it's primarily the capital investment that is required. And fundamentally, if you look at our ecosystem in India, it's a combination of very large contractors which could be there, but many, many small contractors, right? Which is very different from if you look at China, right? Where you have large EPC players who are doing this, so they can, they can absorb these investments as part of their, overheads and drive efficiencies. Similarly, even on the owner side of things, I mean, as owners, when these manufacturing companies, they are deploying these contractors, I mean, they also look at, okay, can I reduce cost in everything, right? So I think the focus is not there, which needs to improve. I mean, the thought has to be there that how do I include mechanization and modularization and these methods to improve construction productivity. I think that's one of the things. And in fact, in some of the countries, government has also come up with certain norms where they have mandated use of certain modular construction works in, say, the roadways and so on. So I think, yeah, it's a combination of the mindset, the current issues which we face with small contractors. I think that's the challenge which is there with us.
Thank you, Mahim. Now, pivoting towards digitalization, it has become a cornerstone for enhancing project efficiency. So, how can digital tools and platforms like AI-driven progress monitoring, FID, BIM, and drone analytics improve coordination, transparency, and accountability across project stakeholders?
Yes, you're right. I mean, if you look at digitalization, is the cornerstone, right, of enhancing. And as I was mentioning in the beginning, fundamentally, I mean, there are inherent challenges with these projects, right? If you have far-flung places where the projects are delivered, you have so many stakeholders, so many contractors, so many disparate information systems. And if you do not have a unified view of these systems into one single version of truth, you will never know what is really happening on the ground, and you will never be able to drive the project efficiently. And hence, I mean, while there are point IT solutions, and I know that you have mentioned some of these in your, I mean, with the question that you're asking, that you have, say, for progress monitoring, drones, and so on. So there are, of course, point IT solutions available, and they definitely have a huge impact as far as the driving efficiencies is concerned. But more importantly, how do we bring it all together into one cohesive integrated platform? I think this is something which is very, very important. But if I were to just, give examples as, where you were asking. So, for example, in the BIM, right? So you have 5D BIM solutions, and they help in integrating design, cost estimation, scheduling. They improve visualization, stakeholder coordination, and through their early clash detection, you essentially ensure that you have the first time right, building or manufacturing setup coming up. The drone analytics, I mean, a very, very important area, right, through which, you can actually physically visualize what is happening and superimpose what's happening in your planning systems and corroborate that is the construction works actually, progressing the way it should be. The lidar scans are there, and where you can also corroborate the quality of the works which are there, even on the physical side. So there are a lot of use cases that exist. But as I was saying, fundamentally, you need to have something like a project control tower, right, which integrates, it should be like a unified data platform. It integrates all these elements, point solutions, whether it's about your planning system, whether it's about your construction monitoring apps, which are there, or about your AI safety systems, which are there, or it could be the drawing management systems who are there, all of them coming together into one cohesive platform, right? And then on top of it, you have artificial intelligence, right? Through which you can drive insights, you can predict outcomes, and definitely improve the decision-making and resource optimization.
So Mahim, adding to the digitalization question, could you share some real-world examples to our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. And there are many of them which are there. And the first one that comes to my mind, it pertains to an upcoming chemical factory which was under construction. The digital control tower implementation which was done, it facilitated early identification of execution bottlenecks. It enabled proactive measures such as renegotiating material deliveries, enhancing engineering productivity, and ultimately at the end of it, we were able to avert a 4-week delay, which in the context of the project would have meant at least 10% loss of revenue, right? So I think that's the that's an impact that a good digital transformation in construction project helps you. And that's number one. I mean, there are many more as well. In a metals and mining project, a digital control tower which was implemented that enabled work reprioritization, team redeployment, compression of the schedule, identification of the critical paths, and that ultimately helped us in compressing the timeline by 12%. Similarly, and we had discussed this in terms of that what's the challenge, as far as the regulatory approvals and hurdles are concerned. But if you have good integrated systems, which integrates your statutory approvals with construction progress, and this is all digitally, integrated, and with the supporting ecosystem, it has helped some of the companies to proactively plan for regulatory approvals and with zero surprises at the end. So there are many such examples, some of them, I've just discussed here.
Thank you, Mahim. Now, for organizations that are planning to embark on the journey of digital transformation or operational excellence, how and where could they start?
See, and this is a good question, Pallavi, and I've seen that, many of the times organizations say, hey, you know what, I want to implement this digital solution. I want to implement this app for capturing construction progress. I want to have this safety system here or there. I want to get into something else. I think fundamentally at the core of it, and people who are constantly into projects, right, who are delivering these projects, and especially in, if you have large EPC companies, or if there's an organization which is going on a CapEx journey over the next 3 to 5 years. I think before moving into digitalization, it's very important to design and implement world-class project management processes and governance mechanisms. Because without that, pure digitalization will yield limited results. I mean, you'll be just automating something which is not making sense and it's not yielding the right result. So a good way to embark on any of these digital transformation journey is to carry out what we call as, in our parlance, a project management maturity assessment. I mean, you can cover aspects pertaining to organization structure, the processes which govern these projects, and also the technology readiness, right? And there are multiple frameworks available for that. I mean, you can use frameworks which are globally available, freely available, whether it's PMI, whether it's FIDIC, whether it's DCMA, even ISO has some of these frameworks. Or, I mean, there are certain frameworks which consulting organizations like us as EY, we have developed for project management maturity assessment. Having done that, redesign these processes, enable them, set the right KPIs, have the right operating model, have the right project control mechanisms, and then adopt fit for purpose technology solutions. I think that's the way to go for organizations.
Thank you, Mahim. Looking ahead, what should project owners, EPC companies, and policymakers focus on to drive the success of mega manufacturing projects in India, especially as the country balances the demand for skilled labor with mechanized and digital solutions?
Right. So, Pallavi, as I had said, construction of these capital projects is extremely complex and it involves high stakes. And as I was mentioning, there are challenges pertaining to the industry itself, multiple small players and so on and so forth. But the reality is that the skilled labor will never be enough to cater to the requirements of mega projects. So whatever be the case. And hence the challenges, if you ask me, they need to be solved with a multi-pronged strategy. One pertaining to the innovative construction methods, tools and technologies related to the construction methods that we are talking about. The second pertaining to the digitalization of construction works. And third, very important elements in terms of having the right process and governance mechanisms. Both the EPC companies and owners should evaluate these strategies, weigh in the investment costs versus benefits for these interventions. And believe me, they will pay for themselves. They are enough use cases that we have discussed during this podcast that we had, where people have put in money, people have gone with innovative technologies, newer construction methods, and it has paid for themselves. So that's one. And of course, there could be and there would be a role of the policymakers as well in this regard. There could be policy frameworks focusing on skilling of the workforce, the construction labor workforce, which are there, even incentivizing investments in tools and technologies. And what if we can have some better financing support also for all of these contractors to move to better ways of construction methods. So I think that's the way forward for all of us. So let's see how it goes.
Thank you so much, Mahim, for sharing such thoughtful insights on how organization can enhance execution excellence and de-risk large scale manufacturing projects.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of this conversation. A key takeaway to our listeners could be, in order to drive success in mega projects, it requires a balance of strong governance, skilled manpower, and efficient use of resources with technology adoption. And to all our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of EVA India Insights podcast. For more perspectives on manufacturing, infrastructure, and sustainability, please do visit our website and follow us on EVA India on your preferred podcast platform. Once again, thank you, Mahim. Thank you for the audience for joining us. I'm your host, Pallavi. See you in the next episode.